Well, turn to James, James chapter 1, and we'll be looking at three verses together, but in order to look at those three verses, we're going to need to look at some other verses as well. And so what we're going to do to start off reading tonight is verses 2 through 8, and then verse 12. So read along with me as I go through verse 2 through 8, and then verse 12. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. So as we read those verses, it goes very well together, doesn't it? Verses 2 through 8 and then following with 12, we get through that without skipping a beat. But I have the privilege tonight to cover some verses that don't seem to go with that. Verse 9, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls and its beauty perishes, so also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. James, why did you do that? What is this doing here in the midst of this passage? Well, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's start in prayer. Father, we need your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to help us to understand your word and to apply it, to change our hearts because of what you are doing through your word in us. We know that your word is powerful, and it gets into the cracks of our lives, and it explodes our own desires and our own plans to show us you and our need of you. Help us to see our need of you tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I call these few verses, two people and a proverb, because we see two people here, and it's kind of concludes there with a little bit of a proverbial statement in verse 12. If I had an outline tonight, and I'll just give you the points that I have here, God lifts the lowly, God humbles the high. Believers boast, and wisdom won. So let's start with God lifts the lowly. When we start looking at this, we begin to understand what he's talking about with lowly. And the idea here is a poor man, someone who is in a humble condition. His circumstances are humble. And as James was writing this letter to these people who had spread out from Jerusalem because they were being persecuted, many of them had to change their lifestyles. They were probably going off to live with a cousin or someone that they knew who had gone out through the years in the Jewish diaspora. And so he was writing to many people who lived in a condition of humility. They were humble. And as we look at the ESV, it says the lowly brother. The NIV says believers in humble circumstances. So these were believers who were in humble circumstances. The temporal lens through which these Christians were viewed by the world around them, and probably even some people within the church, was, well, they just are getting what they deserve, perhaps, or they're stuck in it. They're poor. What can they do? They are in humble circumstances. What do they have? And so we see later in the book, when in James, he's getting on to some of the Christians because they are seeing these poor, these people in humble conditions, and they're saying, you go sit over there. I'm not going to pay attention to you. Or you have a need, and I'm going to say, be warmed and filled, but I'm not going to actually give you something to actually help you because you are lowly. You are in humble circumstances. How are you ever going to get out of that? How often do we look at people around us in the same way? You know, how often, you know, someone is on welfare and we look at them and say, well, they're just stuck in that. How can they get out of that? That's how they've been raised. That's the way they live their life. Why should we give them the time of day? Because they're in humble circumstances. But as we look at James chapter 9 through 11, we see that we should be looking at people and they should be looking at themselves, these lowly brothers, these brothers in humble condition. They should be looking through an eternal lens where they are being encouraged with the fact that they have access to God and they will have eternal relief. Because James says to them, let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation. The lowly will be lifted. And how are the lowly lifted? They are lifted by the wisdom that they ask for in the first few verses that we've read tonight. It is accessible to all, to the most humblest person. And in the worst conditions, God's wisdom is available to that person. And so God also humbles the high. We see the second person in James 1:10, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. This word humiliation used in the ESV is the same word that we see about the person in a humble condition. And I can't help but think that James was using that word play in order to draw that contrast, but also that comparison. That humility is at the root of all of this. The person in a humble condition doesn't have too much of a problem being humble because that's what they're living in. The rich person may need to humble themselves, but both of them must humble themselves before God. James is bringing these two people from opposite poles to a central position. Now, some people question whether this rich man is a Christian, but I'd have you to consider the fact that the grammar actually gives very strong indication that this rich person is actually a believer, because the way it's structured, you would actually read it by saying, let the lowly brother and let the rich brother. So the grammar sets it up for both of these people to be brothers. And then we also see that they are both commanded to boast. So either James is telling the rich man to actually glory in humiliation because it brings about eternal good, or James is turning all of a sudden into sarcasm and using sarcasm to make a point about the futility of being rich. So there are arguments on both sides. But I would lean toward the fact that this rich person, as well as the humble person, the person in humble circumstances, they are both Christian brothers living together in the church body. The eternal lens through which James is encouraging, the temporal lens through which the Christians that were rich were being viewed by the world and even within the church is, hey, they don't have any trials. Or they're saying they have the resources to work themselves out of any trials they have. They were smart enough to get rich, weren't they? And we kind of chuckle at that, but how often do we take that approach? We look at someone who seems to have made it well in this world, and we just make the conclusion, well, they must be wise. Now, we'll see later in James that rich people can be a pretty bad lot. And even in this passage, warning is given to the rich people that are being spoken of here. But God wants the rich to look through life with the eternal lens that they have access to God. And they can humble themselves before God. And when they humble themselves, God will lift them up as well. Proverbs 3:34-35, toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. In James 4:10, they are told, humble yourselves before God, and he will exalt you. So the person, it doesn't matter who you are, rich, poor, in between, middle class, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. If you seek him, he will exalt you. So it's not being rich does not preclude you from being exalted in Christ. Eternal riches cannot bring eternal blessing because they are temporal. And that's the point that he is making in the proverb. James makes this point using the language that sounds as though it was taken directly from Ecclesiastes. For the sun rises with a scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and the beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. This is a proverb. And a proverb is not necessarily always true, but it is generally true. The fact is that a person who is caught up in their riches and is seeking to do that is going to go away. As a matter of fact, even if he gives all of his riches to God, he's still going to go away. There's nothing that you can hold on to in this world. It will all pass. So we must be careful to humble ourselves when we have opportunity. And let's face it, here in the United States, how many of us are truly poor? How many of us in this room are truly poor? Think very carefully before you say, well, I'm poor. Consider the world around us. We are truly rich in this country. And we get puffed up and we seek after riches for our answers in our middle class world, just as much as the rich man. We are rich. James returns to this warning in chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. For whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. The warning is that their temporal blessings can often keep them from realizing their eternal blessings. This is all the more reason to boast in their humiliation. Humiliation of the world seeing you come before Christ asking for wisdom, eschewing all of your riches to the world. Why would you do that? God, what can someone you can't even see do? You've got all the resources right there in front of you. The humble rich person says, it doesn't matter. Those things cannot bring what my heart truly needs. And so there, I set it aside, and I glory, I boast in the humility that comes from me coming before Christ. And he is the true answer. So we've talked here about these two people, the poor person, the rich person. However, for all our focus on these people, they are not the central characters of the passage. Trials and how God uses them is the central character. God is the main character of this passage. He calls for the believers to boast. Both of these Christians are commanded to boast, but neither are to boast in what they have to do. Their boasting is in God. I can't help but think that James was thinking of Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 as he wrote this. And we read, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." It is God who exalts the lowly. It is God who makes wealth worthless to rich men. Your worth is not measured by what you have or don't have. It's measured by the worth of Jesus and what he did for you. Because of what he did for us, wisdom is won. The one who boasts in the wisdom of God is the one who is truly rich. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. So what is this wisdom that we gain? Understanding and knowing God, while experiencing his steadfast love, justice, and righteousness is in the living of life, is wisdom. John MacArthur sums up wisdom succinctly as knowledge and understanding of the promises of God's truth. John Moyer paints this picture of the one who has received wisdom from above. If a man, using knowledge, knows how to use his Bible to understand life and the world around him, and to guide his own conduct and the conduct of others in the maze of life problems, the knowledge has passed over into wisdom. And then from Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." In James 3, he says, "He who is wise and understanding among you, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambitions exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So when he was talking in those first verses of James chapter 1, the wisdom that God gives generously, richly to all who ask him, that is the wisdom that we gain from God. It is the knowledge of him. And trials are blessings because they allow us to grow in that wisdom, that knowledge of God. No person is so low that God cannot lift him. And no person is so high that God is within reach. The need for God is the great equalizer of humankind. God is here for you. The wisdom is available to you. If you are a Christian in humble circumstances, you have been lifted up. If you are a Christian who is well off, glory in the fact that you can have access to Christ in spite of your riches. They don't have to pass you through the eye of the needle, the camel's eye. You have access through Christ. Because of all of this, we go through into the rest of James, and we find in James 2, 1 through 4, for instance, that we should not value our brothers and sisters based on temporal positions and possessions, but by their eternal position in Christ. Continuing in chapter 2, we should not seek to find value or identity in anything outside of what is truly valuable, namely Jesus. In James 2, 8 through 13, we should see value in all human beings as image bearers of God and as fellow people of need. And that greatest need is Jesus. James really is crying out like wisdom cried in the streets of Proverbs 8. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. You are not too low for Jesus to lift you up. Wisdom can open your eyes to see God in ways you've never seen him before. If you are high and you have all that this world has to offer, oh, be thankful that God has given you the grace for you to humble yourself and to see your need of him, because it is that time that you begin to realize what true riches are, the riches of knowing the God of eternity. No person is so low that God cannot lift him, and no person is so high that God is within reach. The need for God is the great equalizer of humankind. Father, we pray that you would use your word tonight in our hearts, that we wouldn't get hung up on who is rich and who is poor, but that we would be attracted to you, that we would see that we are all in need, no matter of our bank account, no matter of what trials we see in our lives. We know that there is one great trial, and that is the trial of sin, and that we know that Jesus has paid that price and has given us opportunity to go beyond just knowledge into wisdom. Help us to learn to set aside anything that would keep us from trusting you and growing in true wisdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.